Looking at salvation as redemption. Revelation 5:9 uses the word in this regard. This is the angels and others that are singing this. They sung a new song saying, "Thou, Jesus, art worthy to take the book." This is the book of ownership of the earth. "And to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So his work of salvation, of dying on the cross, is here called redemption. I mentioned, I think, this morning that the word redeem means to buy back. That's the English meaning. And we want to look at the various, I think, mostly Greek words that we're looking at here. But the words for redemption is how God communicated this to us. The first word that I want to share with you is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance number 59. And it's instructive in itself, agorazo, agorazo. Now, we find this in our text verse. This is the word that's used, "You have redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So the word comes from number 58, which is agora. And that is the word for the marketplace. You have to imagine a farmer's market type of thing. This is where the market was. The farmers, the people that were selling the goods, had booths and awnings over them and things like this. This is where they sold their goods. And so that whole place was called the marketplace. If you've heard of the fear, agoraphobia. This is the fear of going outside, but it comes from this idea, the fear of the marketplace. And it pictures the doing of business in the marketplace. So this is not that word, but it is related to that word. And so redeem has at its heart the concept of doing business, of buying and selling. So what we find here is that this word is used to indicate several things. Number one, Christ paid the purchase price for all mankind. We saw this morning that the word ransom was used of all, ransom for all. And we pointed out that the plural all there means every single person. 2 Peter 2:1. Here he's talking about the bad guys. He's talking about the unsaved people, these that he's going to be talking about who are going to hell. "But there were false prophets also among the people." The people are Israel. False prophets back then. "Even as there shall be false teachers among you," the church, "who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." The very concept of damnable means that they are inviting damnation. "Even denying," and notice this, "the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." They end up in destruction, perishing. But the work that Christ did purchased even them. So this is not the thing that makes them saved. It is the thing that makes it possible for them to be saved, this work of redemption. The second thing we can tell from this word is that Christ's price, what did he pay, was his own blood. There have been theories about him going to hell during the 3 days before he arose from the dead, and that in some way he was paying for them there. This isn't in the Bible. This is added in. And In fact, the scripture is quite clear. It was his sacrifice that the God of life, the God who created human life, died. This was the great sacrifice. Revelation 5, 9, and 10, we go a little further than our text verse. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. By the way, out of every blood, thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That means some of every group through history will be saved. Do you see that in the verse? That there are no groups called kindred or tongue or people or nation. There are no groups that will have nobody represented as saved people. But verse 10 then says, And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So what was it that he paid? He redeemed us to God by thy blood. You redeemed us by your blood. The third thing that we see is that this purchase owns us. When you go to the store, the things that are on the shelves belong to the store. If you take them without paying, you're stealing, you see. I'm sure you're aware of that. Well, when you buy it, if the store were to take it back by some subtlety, they would be stealing, see. Because after your purchase is completed, you own it. Now, this has an implication that I haven't really pursued, but that is, in fact, because the price paid actually counted for everybody, even those who end up going to hell, he does own them. If there was a question about his right to deal with them harshly at the end, the fact is his purchase owns them, owns all that he purchased, and we saw that he purchased even the unsaved. All right, three passages here, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not, he's speaking to Christians here, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. He says, now you have God living in you. And the Gentiles were aware of the concept of God living in those temples. It was not the way it was with Israel. God did not live there. He didn't need a house, the true God. But in their ideas, the temples held their gods. So he used that as an example. So if God is in you, then your body has become a temple, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. The whole idea that I have rights, I can do what I want with my own body, is actually untrue. And he explains why you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. And again, while he's talking to Christians here, we see earlier this same word, his redeeming work, was done for all. Therefore, glorify God in your body. There's our word glorify, glorious. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. These belong to God now. And when we misuse our body, we are stealing from God. We are taking the neighbor's power tool, using it as we want, not as his. 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 23. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. He's talking about the condition you are when you get saved. So if you're a slave, word servant is a slave here. If you got saved while you were a slave, the thing is, in the Lord, you're a free man, made free. Likewise, also he that is called being free, not a slave, is Christ's servant. And then he says, you're his slave because you are bought with a price. Be not ye the slaves of men, the servants of men. So we don't take the ideas of men over the ideas of God. And again, we find this in Revelation 14, 3 and 4. This is talking specifically about the 144,000 who are especially used of God to spread the gospel around the world completely during the tribulation period. Here it says, "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. In Revelation 14, this is the second time we've found the 144,000. Back in chapter 7:14, we find them where they're getting saved and they go in this missionary work, and then they receive the persecution from the world. Here, they're in heaven. They've all been killed, but they're in heaven, and there was the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women." These were virgin young men, for they are virgins. "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb." A firstfruits is always a picture of God's first harvest. So this, I believe, they get saved by the work of the two witnesses and by the calculation of the days and so on. In the book of the Revelation, you find the two witnesses begin their work on day one of the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. So they begin their work on day one. Their work results in 144,000 Jewish young men who evidently had been trained well in morality and so on, because they were not giving themselves to the lasciviousness of the world. And they are taken then to be world missionaries. And this fulfills the prophecy of the gospel going throughout all the world before Christ comes back. And these were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. The firstfruits then refers to the many who will get saved during the tribulation period because of their work. All right, we have another word. Now it's related to the first word. But this is Strong's 1805, and it is ex agorazo. Ex agorazo. Now that is a compound, adding ex to agorazo. So we've looked at agorazo, the marketplace work, the buying. And now, but the emphasis here is, when this word is used, it is a picture of buying it out of what it was, of removing it from where it came from. If you think of buying a slave, for instance, a human being, and they were in a bad situation, you buy them for your own and take them to your lovely home to be a servant that's being treated well. You get the idea of when this word would be used. You bought them out of a situation, some kind of situation. So I think you'll see in these words, in these verses where it's used, that this is the focus, a removal from where they were. Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." What we're seeing here is that all of us had been condemned by the law, because the law was made for that purpose, to show us that we weren't good enough on our own. So we were under the curse. He bought us out of that. He took our place. We were talking about substitution. And so his purchase took us out. Charles Ryrie in Basic Theology says, "The substitutionary nature of Christ's death stands out clearly. We were under a curse. He bore that curse. We have been removed from the curse." Ex agorazo. Again in Galatians, talking about the law and so on, Galatians 4:5, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." instead of being in a religious system that was just do good things and don't do bad things, this entered into a new process of actually being adopted as a son of God. Charles Ryrie again, Paul declared that believers have been completely removed from being under the law. Then in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we see again the context is the days are evil. So we are being redeemed away from that to buy up, to use fully the time. My wife was watching as I was napping. Intimate biography, something like that, of the Roosevelts, Teddy Roosevelt. And he had heard when he was younger, the doctor talking to his parents that he might not live very long. And he had been motivated then to be the person who got as much out of life as he could. So this was, he decided to redeem the time, to buy it up, you know. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Be wise as you talk to the unsaved. Redeeming the time. So the idea of redeeming the time, buy it up and buy it out of the evil day. The third word that changes now the root meaning is Strong's 4046. And that is peripoyeomai. Peri is the around, you know, like the periscope goes all the way around. We find this word in Acts 20:28. Take heed, Paul says to the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, they were pastors, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he, the church of God, which God, speaking of God the Father here, hath purchased with his own blood. And so his own blood is the blood of Christ, but very clearly God is called, or Christ is called God here. The church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ryrie, bring him in for the doctrinal emphasis here. It means this word peripoyeomo, poyeo, we get our word poem and so on, poetry from this, but it simply means a work done. Well, this word means a work that keeps you safe. Look at Ryrie. It means to keep safe or to preserve. In the middle voice, as used in this verse, it means to keep or save for oneself. This is where you hide something away for yourself. See? To acquire or gain a possession of. Thus, the idea is that God acquired the church through the blood of his own son for his personal possession, to save it out, to preserve it. A fourth word is Strong's 3084, and it is lutrao. We had mentioned this word a little bit as it was translated ransom, and we'll get back to that. But lutrao is the verb form, Luke 24:21. But we trusted, they are talking to Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ. They don't know it's him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So here the idea is that a price is paid. They thought that he would have paid the price for Israel. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, to buy us away from all sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar here means his own particular purchase. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your fathers. He goes on to say, but you were redeemed by the payment of Christ's blood. And so Ryrie says, note especially that the price paid is the blood of the Lamb. Now, not only do we have the verb that is translated redeemed, but also the noun form. This is 3083, lutron. And Strong's Concordance says that this means literally the price for redeeming, the price paid, you see. It is a ransom. You think of the ransom, then that's the thing paid. To liberate many from misery and the penalty of their sins, as it's used in the New Testament. Two verses here, Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of God, of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So here his life, the idea of giving his life is actually focusing on his death, you understand. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I think it was Jack Hiles, one of the pastor's schools, said that he was always amazed at young preachers that come to him and say, I just think that the people in my church don't appreciate me. They're just using me. And he said, I'd like to ask them, when you were first dedicating yourself to the Lord for the work of the ministry, didn't you pray, God, use me? Just use me? Spurgeon had a deacon that was, they were praying before the service, and he asked God to take up Spurgeon and use him as a man might use a tool, as a man might use an axe, I think he said. The idea of being used, and you know, there is a point where the axe itself has to be made in such a way, sharpened in such a way, that it's an effective tool. That's kind of up to us, how sharp we get our tool. But the actual using of it is of God. And so when the pastor is sorrowing that he's just being used, it's actually the fulfillment of what he was dedicating for himself for. So this is the idea. it is to be used. This is the price paid. So Christ gave his life even unto death for many. Then the next one is Strong's 629, and this is apolutrosis. The lutro you catch in the last two words, lutrosis and lutron. Here is apa, away from, lutrosis. And again, this is the attitude of buying away. Luke 21:28, when these things began to come to pass, he's talking about the coming of the tribulation period, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is the idea that God would save Israel out, or actually through the tribulation period. Many would be alive at the end when Christ returns, and they will be transformed right into his kingdom. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so justified freely, justified without cost, by his grace, by his empowerment, by what he gives. And that is, he can offer his grace because the redemption was paid. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, Romans 8:23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, and he specifies this part, the redemption of our body. This is where our bodies are taken up out of the earth, out of the natural, and becomes a supernatural body, a spiritual body. That is the rapture of the church. When the work of our adoption, which has legally been completed when we got saved, and we are now in the process of being conformed to the natural Son, we adopted children being conformed to the natural Son, Jesus Christ, then that work will be completed, and we are actually taken to the home of our adopted Father. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, here Christ was made something to us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, this purchasing out of the earth, out of the world. Ephesians 1, 7 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Again in Ephesians 4, 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are now sealed unto the time when your body is redeemed, is the focus here, until the time of the rapture. Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9, 15, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, the New Covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The transgressions, the sins, were spelled out by the First Covenant, which was the Mosaic Law, but the New Testament, which is the promise of forgiveness of sins, has been brought. He was the mediator of that. Christ was. And then last verse is Hebrews 11, 35, talking about the Old Testament people. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They stayed true to God, even though it cost them their life, picturing what Christ would do later. And so they didn't receive here the word meaning selling their soul, as it were, to deliver themselves from trial, persecution. They were martyrs to the end. Well, let me then close the... I keep looking up at the clock. Okay, we're good. Let me close with a three-point summary. Redemption summarized. Here's what I want you to think of when you think of this concept of being redeemed. First of all, Christ redeemed people from something, and that was from sin. As sin, we were given to sin, therefore we were slaves of sin, and therefore slaves of the devil. We would just do what he wanted us to do. We didn't have really a choice. Slaves don't have choices. Well, he bought us out of that situation. So redeem talks about being redeemed from something. Secondly, Christ redeemed people by something. And what was that something? It was his very blood. This was the ultimate cost, all that he had as a human being. And then C, Christ redeemed people to something. This isn't just that you bought something at the store, but you took it home. You put it on the shelf to do something, you see. And what is it that he redeemed us to? Freedom. Freedom from the dominion of sin, the domination of sin. Having to sin. We don't have to sin. So Christ's substitutionary work paid his life for ours. He made an exchange. And so, to me, a very powerful concept, that salvation was redemption, which pictures Christ entering into a financial situation for us. And we were in a bad place. He purchased us out of it by the cost of his own blood. Let's bow then for prayer. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to recognize what Christ did, that in this regard, it was a purchasing. There was an exchange of that which was of value. He gave his life. He shed his blood. I pray, Father, that you might help us then to turn to thee again and again, to thank you for our salvation, to thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, at such a cost for one drop of Christ's blood was of greater importance than anything in this world, much less us. But he was willing to do that, and you were willing to allow that. I pray, Father, you might guide and direct us then as we turn to thee.